So, welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. This is Augustino Zoida. I'm the host of the Homeschool Podcast. It's great to have you with us. My co-host, Kevin Lyons, is still out of town. And, dude, hilarious. I knew it wasn't going to work, and then it worked in the middle of that shit. You know what, bro? Let's leave that in, because that's funny.
Nice.
It was loud as shit. People are going to be driving to work.
They're going to think you did that on purpose.
It's time.
And we scared the shit out of them.
The journey.
Hilarious. Where was I? My co-host Kevin Lyons is still out of town, but I do have an in-house guest, Conrad Mikey. Are you still going by that?
I am.
That's a stage name. You're sticking with it.
I am.
Okay, good. Conrad Mikey is in the building. You don't use the old name, your real name at all.
I use it in films.
But you're not worried that people know it?
No, I don't care.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Sedochenkov.
Yeah, that's what true.
But you know, it's a mouthful, so you changed it to Conrad. Is your middle name Michael?
It is.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. Here, bring that mic back to you.
Saved me tons of time, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Especially when I had to bring you up if I was ever hosting a show.
My last name turns into a conversation every time. It's like, where is it from? How do you pronounce it? And it's like, if I don't have it, saves me tons of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just...
People often think my first name is my last name.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like a weird one.
Right, right. It's
you know.
Elegant.
I've thought about changing my name so many times, dudes, for this, like, for stage, so people can remember it easier and stuff. But I feel like I've already had it this long. I've got TV credits under it and stuff. And I'm like, I'm just going to leave it be.
Yeah, leave it be.
By the way, my new thing is I'm going to stop using television credits. I'm only using podcast credits. This may be temporary because I always go back on shit.
Yeah.
But for the time being, dude, that's my new credit. Unless I made the content myself,
right?
Or someone's podcast, because like, you know, I've written on some television shows, I've had some appearances on stand up, you know, networks and stuff like that. And I used to use those as credits. My new thing is I'm not using those credits because of cancel culture, because any TV show or anything could be just stripped from you. And you know what's not stripped away? It's fucking podcasts, bro. You can't take away what you didn't help build. And from now on, I am most proud of the podcast that I've done and my friends who have like done great achievement with their podcast, and I've been fortunate enough to be on it. So that's my new thing, bro. Anyway, before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Share a Sale. Listen, you guys, a lot of you have podcasts of your own and you're wondering, how do I get sponsors? How come all these podcasts I'm listening to, these guys have sponsors and I don't? How do I even go to get about getting sponsors? I want to get paid for my podcast. Listen, guys, click the link in the description and sign up today as an affiliate on Share a Sale, and they will help you get sponsors for your podcast. There is a number of businesses on there, like thousands and thousands of different type of businesses that are looking for a podcast to promote them. So you can just sign up and you will get sponsors that way. All you have to do is register as an affiliate at Share a Sale. It doesn't cost you anything to register. Just click the link in the description. Also, if you have a business and you would like to find a podcast to promote you, same thing. Click the link in the description for Share a Sale, but you're going to register as a merchant. All right, you guys, that's how you do it. Costs you guys nothing to do it. But I get paid if you do it, all right? So just click that shit. Also, this episode is brought to you by Puffy Mattress, America's voted number one memory foam mattress that gets delivered to your door, because there are 1,000 out there like it. You see the commercials all the time on YouTube. You see them pop up on your Instagram. All these mattresses that they roll up into a box and deliver it to your door. But which one's the best one? I'll tell you what. It's Puffy Mattress, you guys. It was voted the best one, and it's made in the USA. And I am currently sleeping on it and have been for like a month, and it's awesome. My back pain literally went away, and I'm coming from other similar products where I actually had to return them and get my money back because they were a bunch of bullshit. So Puffy Mattress, you guys, I swear by it. Click the link in the description right now to get $300 off your Puffy mattress and one free king pillow, a king Puffy pillow. And they also offer financing. You could possibly qualify for zero down and just make payments on the mattress. So check it out. Click the link in the description. All right. We got Conrad Mikey here.
In the house.
Dude, it's so good to see you. And I don't get to see too many people anymore.
I know.
I've been having some guests start to come back in studio.
Yeah.
for the whole like quarantine, I was doing call-ins. I was having guests call in, mm-hmm. and it's I still do it sometimes, depending if they're far away. And some people are a little more scared than others,
right?
And then some people want to come wear a mask,
yeah.
And then some people don't mind not sitting here with me and not wearing a mask at this distance. So it's just nice to have some artists, comedians, but artists in general to just kind of see again,
to be artful with.
Just,
yeah,
I have, you know, I was just talking to, on the last episode, a buddy of mine, I was just saying, like, the whole, like, life, it's not just performing, which I miss extremely, it's the lifestyle.
And it's a mind state.
Yes.
And if it escapes you,
yeah,
it's hard to jump back into that creative mind state.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I've been trying to keep creative in other outlets during all this.
100%.
You know, I do, people ask me if I want to do a Zoom show. Fuck no, I don't want to do a Zoom show. But I do my own private video diary where I do a new joke a week into the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And if I actually have a good one, I'll release them on Instagram.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing.
That's tight.
It just keeps me. And then you know what, dude? I had to do this show where for Laugh Lounge, which was really fun. Laugh Lounge is an app where people subscribe and they can watch like stand-up comedy at comedy clubs, not just specials. Like they can watch a whole show at a comedy club.
Okay.
From anywhere around the world. And I did one live before the lockdown. And then during the lockdown, they go, you know, we're going to do one, but you're going to perform to a camera and go live to everyone in the app. So that I did. It was way different than a Zoom show. It was like legit. Like,
can you hear the audience?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, they had two giant, like 50-inch flat screen TVs in front of me.
Yeah.
With a bunch of like Brady Bunch boxes of people.
Just sitting at their computers looking at you?
Looking at me, and I can hear them laugh. And I can even talk to them. Like one lady was commenting and I was talking back with her. One lady was holding her baby.
Could you find the square on there, which one it was?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I can see who was talking to me.
Oh, snap.
And it was this like brand new technology that I've never experienced. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to do it ever again because I want to go back to live performances. But if I had to do it again, I wouldn't mind because that was dope.
Yeah.
That was cool. And I think that doing my diaries every day, like you said, I kept my state of mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I went to go do performing in front of a camera with no live audience, I think that I felt very comfortable because of it, that practice I was doing.
It's good you're staying fresh and sharp.
Yeah, dude. So, anyway, man.
How long do you think it's going to take till we get to the live audience in the spot?
Well, I've already had a show in other states.
Oh, all right.
So some states are opening. I went to Arizona.
Yeah.
And I did Phoenix, Scottsdale. Technically, it's Scottsdale, Arizona. Right, right. And I think that right after I left, Phoenix closed again.
Mm-hmm.
But Scottsdale's still doing it. And it's just everybody's different, man. You know?
So I guess it's just going to be a kind of trickle-in effect, just everybody kind of opening back up.
Yeah. I had one comic on this podcast tell me, do you remember Greg Wilson?
Yeah.
He called in the other day and he goes like, why do we not have that plexiglass on the stage? And he's like, put the plexiglass on the stage. On the set. I don't really want to do that, to be honest with you.
I think you're going to see a lot of reflection in there.
Yeah.
It's going to be almost a mirror with the lights hitting you and you in front of glass. You're going to be looking at, it's going to be like,
I think you're right, dude. You're going to be, you're going to feel like one of those, chicks in a third world country that got to dance behind that glass and the guys in the dark room and they're like, if you want to keep going, put in the credit card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some shit like that.
Like, I don't know if and to tell you the truth, like, if they did that and it meant I can go back and perform, I'm gonna do it.
Right, right.
But to be honest with you, I don't really think there's a need for that. Like,
it doesn't even seem like there's really a need for it in general. It seems like it's all just kind of a little bit of security theater of just like, I was just looking at a dude at the gym. He had the visor today. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't think you need the visor in the gym because it's like air's moving around.
Yeah.
It's that thing's, what, 3 inches from your face? It's like...
It comes from underneath.
It'll keep you from someone spitting in your face for sure. But like the air's going to get in there.
Right.
So it just doesn't seem like there's a point to it. But I mean, I feel like everybody's in this weird, fearful mind state and nobody really knows what to do. And they're just like, let me do enough to where nobody looks at me fucking crazy. And because at the end of the day, even when I wear a mask, I can't help from noticing. I was touching everything, and then I just grabbed it and put it in front of my.
Absolutely.
Great. I just stuck my hands in the mask to pull it over my nose, and now I fucking touched my fucking lip. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this germophobia has to stop because now I'm wasting thoughts.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's all big fear driven thing. I don't think I've gone back and forth on it. I don't think that it's fake.
Definitely not fake.
I just don't think it's as bad as they think. And I think that it's doing what it was meant to do, which is scare people, crash the economy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I pretty much like all of the above.
Right.
Whatever it's doing, that's what it was created to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I think it is. And I think I had it like in December because I got a really, really nasty flu.
Right.
I know some people that think that they had it. I know people that had it. Like comics were like, yo, I caught it. And then some people don't have any symptoms and they get diagnosed with it. Man, I think that half those tests are bullshit.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this stuff, probably more than half, I think the numbers that we are told are not even real.
You know what's funny? If you Google 3 digits and you type in new cases after.
I know.
It just gives you a new article every time. I know,
dude. Dude, don't get me started.
It's crazy. Because
you're preaching to the choir.
Bro. I admit.
I just try not to go off on rants.
Yeah.
Although I have been told by people that you are best at your rants, so just do it. But like, man.
The thing is, it goes so deep that I don't even know if I have the time to look into it because it's just a never-ending rabbit hole of information. And you can't tell what's real and not. And then it's like, you got all these fucking, it goes so deep with what people say.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just don't know what to believe. Like, I definitely don't believe what I'm being told by anyone.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Dude, I'd say like before there was like 50% wearing masks. You know what I mean? Like I would walk down the street and I wouldn't be, and then one person would be. But if there were 4 people, there would be 2 people, and then there are 2 people that weren't. I would say it was like 50%, right? Then they started saying if 95% of people wore masks, Corona would be gone. That's what they started saying. The scientists said this, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm seeing everybody wearing a mask, except for like me, maybe you. I don't know.
Depends where I'm at.
Depends where you're at.
Yeah.
And we're the 5%. But 95 is wearing the mask now. Uh-huh. So how long are we going to go with this everybody wearing a mask before we start to see these improvements that you're talking about? Because I have noticed an increase in masks, but you're saying the numbers are going up. So,
yeah.
And then I'll tell you what else, dude. I see videos of people trying to run into the store. They get arrested not wearing a mask or shit like that. I'm going to tell you something. This is the type of guy that I am. If you invite me over to your house and you ask me to take my shoes off, I'm going to take my shoes off. It's your house. Yeah. If I'm uncomfortable taking my shoes off, I'm not going to come in.
Yeah.
So if I go to a grocery store or if I go to your house or whatever and you ask me to wear a mask, I'm going to comply with your wishes.
Yeah.
But when I'm not in your place and I'm walking around out in the free air that my taxes pay for,
yeah,
I'm not going to wear a mask.
It's useless outside, I think.
It's absolutely useless. Yeah, yeah. It's 110 degrees out in Los Angeles.
Even so, you're just the air's blowing all over the place. It's like you're not in an enclosed space, so it doesn't matter.
It's ridiculous, dude.
It's a trip, dude. And it's like all connected, all of it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
here's what's trending right now, I've noticed, with the millennials and your average social media people. What's trending right now is everybody showing, here's why you should wear masks. Or just wear it. Don't be selfish. Just wear it. What's the big deal? Media. If you don't think it helps, well, just wear it anyway because you're helping other people maybe, or you're making them feel better or something like that. Like I've been seeing a lot of that stuff. Now I will say this to contest to that, because if I believed that not wearing it or wearing it was the same thing, then yeah, maybe I would put a mask on and wear it for you. Because it's a placebo mask and it makes you feel better, right? But that's not the case. I actually think it harms you. And I think that anything that they are telling you to do is probably bad for you. Because they've obviously want us to fucking fail.
They need you to stay in an extremely fearful mind state at all costs.
Exactly.
And they need to magnify and exaggerate everything about it.
Yeah.
In order to keep you, and they also need it to be talked about 24/7. They need that because they don't want a lot of other shit to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that I don't know if they're true, but if they were, then it would shatter like everything.
Yeah.
And so with the things people are saying, like all these celebrities are like on house arrest because they're involved in some right. fucking child fucking
I've heard that
elite pedophile ring.
Yeah.
And if it is true, then it'll blow people's fucking minds.
Yeah.
And I hope it isn't, but there's a lot of evidence.
There's a lot of evidence to it.
Yeah.
And but to tell you the truth, bro, it's stuff that I've heard for years, and nobody. Right. When you talk about it, people go, "You're a conspiracy theorist," and it's like, but then now when my friends are getting me too'd, oh, I'm not a conspiracy theorist no more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's pedophiles out there.
Right.
You guys are trying to go after fucking comics for a story they told 10 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like
comics are the worst because we say a lot of bullshit, especially jokes.
But when I told you fucking Clinton was raping people, you all didn't fucking, you called me a conspiracy theorist. Right. You know, it's like, oh, let's go after these little people because you guys don't want to go after those deep fucking people.
Well, they need
now I'm crazy.
Yeah, they need to keep it the attention where they need it at.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so powerful that they can get people killed who try to talk about the shit they don't want.
Yes.
And so people are scared to do it. And then I think what's going on right now, though, is like a huge Battle of the Titans taking place.
Yes.
And we're all just like under the shadow of the ship over our heads.
Yeah.
Just going like, oh, fuck, what's going on up there?
It's a lot of things happening, dude. They're trying to take out like high elites in their pedophile shit. I think they're trying to reset like the currency. I think all of it's like kind of happening at once. The war, as you spoke of, man. And it's just crazy, dude. And it could be a big distraction. It could be helping their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's just so fucked up, dude. It's like, Well, first of all, here's my theory on the masks right now. This is my current theory because I have a lot.
Yeah.
This is my current theory on the masks and why they tell us to wear them. I think that the vid doesn't really last that long, and I think that it's not as strong as they made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you can easily like get rid of it. That's what I think.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that the mask is to ensure that the germ stays in you. So when you breathe out, You breathe it back in.
You're re-inhaling it.
I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
I don't have a link or a statistic to send you, so don't ask. People, every time I have a thought, people go, send me the link or the statistic. I'm like, bro, I'm just using my brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just using, like, you know what I mean? Like, Christopher Columbus was exploring and he wasn't like, bullshit, send me a link. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to go fucking think of shit on your own. So this is just my own thoughts. That's what I think. When you breathe out, if there's a mask there, it has no choice but to come right back into your system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and that would extremely, extremely explain why in the beginning they told us not to wear a mask. And now they're saying wear it because they wanted to ensure that you caught it. And then now they want to ensure that you keep it.
Right. I'm more suspicious of anything, the vaccine, personally.
Dude, 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I just have no clue what they're up to, but I don't think it's good. And pretty sure, because at the end of the day, when it comes to the healthcare, everything, you're always better off with anything natural and not fucking around in general. So
whenever I got an issue, I always go look up, like, what's the natural way to, how do people handle it naturally?
Yep.
You know, I was having a thing where I felt like my gum line was receding.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and look it up and I go, how do you deal with gum line receding? And people go like, fucking vitamin D.
Really?
And they go, your gums will fucking grow back. And so, you know what I mean? It's like things like that. Like,
and you get vitamin D from the sun, right?
You get vitamin D from the sun and from like drinking milk or calcium.
Yeah.
Calcium helps your bones and your fucking gums and your teeth, dude. So, like, you know.
I know. There's always a fix. It's like, it's out there.
And then they say, you know, what vitamins kill the vid. You know what I mean?
I recently started taking Shilajit. Have you heard of this?
Shilajit?
Shilajit, dude. Super legit.
That sounds.
Yeah.
That's something that Kanye sells.
It's. I don't know. What I've heard about it, though, is it's like these minerals that are like ancient and like. And they're like really, really densely compacted together.
Yeah.
And they're like from the Himalayan mountains. And like it's supposed to just revitalize you and decalcify your pineal gland and increase testosterone levels and all kinds of stuff.
Is it in pill form?
They sell it in pill form. I right now have like a resin that I can mix into some tea.
Ooh.
But I also got the pills because that'll be easier to take.
Does it taste like a mushroom or does it taste like?
It has like an earthy flavor.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Okay.
Yeah. I've just drank it with hot water.
Where do you buy this from?
Well, I found some online by a company called Shock, and then I ordered some on Amazon too. that I don't remember the name of.
So they sell it on Amazon?
There is some on Amazon, but I've heard the one I just got is superior to it.
It's called Shilajit?
Shilajit.
Shilajit.
Yeah, S-H-I-L-I-J-I-T.
Okay.
Yep.
And how do you feel?
I feel pretty good.
How long have you been taking it?
I haven't been consistent with it yet, uh-huh. So I just started doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's nice. Like, I do a lot of things that it's hard to say what's doing what. because like for my immunity, I take aloe because it repaves your gut.
Okay.
The inside, that's where your immunity's built.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your whole immunity is built in your gut. Your gut actually creates serotonin too.
Right.
So you can actually like feel better mentally by taking better care of your stomach.
Yeah.
And it's like people don't know this very much. And then so much food is like poisonous.
Absolutely.
People have no idea. Like it's actual poison. You know? All the processed food. Like everything.
Yeah.
And so it's a trip, man. I've been learning a lot about health and everything. Like all that natural stuff. All that, you know, different ways to just eliminate things. I have a deodorant that's like made from like beeswax and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy. And it works the best. That was the thing. I did doubt it at first, but this lady gave me a sample because I was like, no, I need that fucking hardcore Gillette, baby.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going to reek.
Yeah.
This stuff works better. And it's,
really?
And it's like all natural. Like you just rub some of it on with your finger.
And what's that one called?
This woman sells it. I don't remember that. She just has it named by the flavors. But
so you don't get it online?
I get it online.
Oh, okay.
But her name is Berla Angelica.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can go to berlaangelica.com.
Wow.
And you can find that stuff. And then the aloe is Univera. Univera is the company that makes it. They have the biggest aloe farms in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
like aloe vera.
Yeah.
Univera, okay.
Uh-huh. And they sell tons of great products, and I can refer people too. They give you referral bonuses.
Those natural remedies, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, I have an aloe vera cactus. And I've had it since I was like a young teenager because my dad grew it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have one out here. And if you cut that shit open, dude, and you peel the skin back and that jelly inside.
I just did that because I was burned from the beach.
If you get a sunburn, mm-hmm. that is like...
Nothing better.
Nothing better than that.
Yeah.
And a couple other things, dude. I'll tell you what. When I was younger, I have a dog now. But when I was a teenager, I had another dog. Also
the
pit bull.
The one that didn't like you?
The one that didn't like me?
Huh?
What do you mean?
No, I think you had a joke about that, but I might be wrong.
Oh, I did used to have a joke about that. I think the dog I had now when I first got him.
Oh, yeah.
But no, when I was a teenager, I had a different dog who was also a pit bull,
mm-hmm.
and he had this spot on his tail that was almost like a fungus, and it grew like hard skin, like hard,
yeah, yeah.
and then he couldn't grow his hair right there, so he just had this weird bald spot on his tail.
Right, right.
And... we tried everything. Like, we tried, like, Neosporin. My dad tried all these ointments and pet stuff and all that stuff. And one day, dude, I started just taking the plant and cutting the aloe vera and rubbing it on there. Like, dude, I did it twice a day, every day, for weeks.
Yeah.
And eventually it healed and the hair started to grow back.
Dude, it's a miracle plant.
Yeah.
Aloe vera is a miracle plant.
Absolutely.
It's crazy what it can do.
There's some miracle plants,
man. So the guy that started the company, the way he, like, discovered it, was that he was given like a short amount of time to live from the doctor. He had like some serious cancer or something. And he's trying lots of stuff. He's a billionaire, so he tried everything.
Yeah.
Nothing worked. Ended up just eating aloe vera because some Aborigine people told him that's what they did.
It's gross, huh?
And it tastes bad when you do it like that, yeah.
Your mouth gets super dry.
But he was eating it, and then he ended up living like another 20 years.
Wow.
And then he passed the company on to his son, and then they just started with aloe vera farming, and mm-hmm. then they moved on to like, they have like over 200 million plant fractions or 200,000 plant fractions, and then
unbelievable.
And then they break them all down to figure out how they work with each other to create natural products.
Yeah.
And then they made the aloe taste good.
Yeah.
So that's a good part. You know,
dude, I have been talking on here for maybe a year or two now about how what you consume or put in your stomach absolutely has an effect on your mind. And as a stand-up comedian, I've had to have talked about this, and I've had podcasts on it. I've had nutritionists on here talking about it. And I remember like a year ago, I had a nutritionist on here, and I was telling them how I was really eating unhealthy. I was back into some old habits and drinking and eating unhealthy and not exercising or walking, kind of like getting out of shape again.
Right.
And then I went on stage. And I was like performing and almost like kind of felt like I couldn't do it. Like 8 minutes into my set, I was killing it, and like yeah. I use a lot of energy on stage.
Yeah, you started stamina was crashing.
Heartbeat fast, yeah. Shortness of breath, feeling dizzy, and I had to take a minute. And they're just like, yeah, like you as a performer,
right.
I've been saying this, dude, you have to eat healthy, and I should exercise more, but like, you know what I mean? But if you exercise it, like in general, even if you just like walk every day, like you have to, if you're a performer, like I think it's so important.
I mean, you look at Beyonce at Coachella last year, she sang for 2 hours straight. I was like, dude, I'm in pretty good shape. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours straight of just singing your fucking lungs out without your voice cracking. Like,
yeah. You go to a concert and you're lucky crazy. If they do 45 minutes.
Dude, 2 straight hours.
I did. I went to a 21 Pilots concert, and by the way, they're fucking phenomenal to watch live. And I feel like it went by so fast, though. Like I feel like it was maybe like 50 minutes, but they did like 20 songs, and it's like, oh, or, you know, and those guys really get into it, and it's like you have to be in shape, man.
So yeah, perform music.
It's been over a year, like a year and 2 months, since I have not had meat.
Okay,
and I think it absolutely has helped my mindset.
I could definitely concur. I went vegan a couple years ago, and then now I'm like, I eat a couple things here and there.
You're moderate.
Yeah. I've found a balance where, like, you know, if it's like, a certain, you know, it's like Thanksgiving and my mom made some, I'll have some.
Like you're not a vegan, but like you avoid
all that stuff.
I'm
like pretty close to vegan.
Okay.
Like I eat eggs sometimes in the morning.
Once in a blue moon, that's it. Yeah.
And I used to have a chicken and it laid eggs every day.
Okay.
And if I didn't do anything with them, the raccoons would come for them. So I was like.
Farm to table. Yeah. Dude, I would love to have a chicken and just have fresh eggs.
My boy Chris just got some chickens.
Really?
He has a whole bunch in his back. He has weed plants, chickens. He has it going on in his backyard, dude.
That's unbelievable.
It's funny because you could just. You just throw it out there, man. You don't have to do a lot. It doesn't even take that much. And the chickens, it all starts to take care of each other. You know, chickens, you can eat, you feed them table
Stone
scraps.
Feed and stuff,
table
right?
Table scraps, bro. They can eat that. And then you got that composting in the soil, making more stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like big-ass weed plants and happy chickens.
Dude, around the corner over here is, God, what the, I'm so terrible with names. What's that actor's name that just, not just died, but died maybe like a year ago? His last movie was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was in it for like a minute from 90210, something Perry.
Matthew Perry?
No, that's the guy from Friends, right?
I think so.
Luke Perry.
Luke Perry?
Right. The actor from 90210. I think it's Luke Perry.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I'm pretty sure
he lived around the corner right here.
Yeah.
And when he died, that's my wife saw him come, the ambulance come and everything too. You know what I mean? So,
really?
But they had fucking chickens in their front yard, and even still to this day, because his girl still lives there.
Yeah.
And dude, if you go by his house, you can see that they got chickens in the front yard and a pig.
That's awesome.
There's a pig just chilling there.
When I was in college, I had that chicken and. I had this thought in my mind that I was going to get a rooster for the chicken. And the thing was, there were these roosters running around this other yard. I think there was like a big ass bag of bird seed that had like spilled out.
Yeah.
So this is where they were kicking it at for a while. So every day when I would leave school, I would run around and try and chase these roosters and catch them. But they were young. And when they're young, they can get a running start and like glide over the fence. They're really hard. But I saw this other dude catch one, so I was determined to catch them. So I probably wasted 2 weeks chasing roosters. Because I wanted to have a friend for my chicken.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Won't they fuck?
I think they would.
Because your chicken's a hen.
Yeah, yeah. But they were young. They were pretty young. So I was like, maybe when they get a little older, they fuck. And then I have more chickens. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So the female's the hen. The male's the rooster. But they're both chickens.
Right.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah. Just making sure. Yeah. I'm homeschooled, bro. But anyway, yeah, man. Listen to us talk, and then I just try to tell people about not wearing a mask. Like I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but it makes a lot of sense.
End of the day, too. One of the things I think about it is just it feels like people are doing something. So they're like, well, at least we're doing something. It's like when we're at the store, it's like everyone's covering their face. We're good. This is good.
Yeah.
So also it gives like a little bit of a pseudo like appropriateness to the things that do need to exist and be open. You know?
Yeah.
Where people feel safer. And at the end of the day, I think in certain situations, it's going to be good. Like, it's almost preparing food. You don't want to be breathing over the food. But if you're just, you shouldn't be wearing it all day. Plus, I see people wearing it in their cars, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You're in your car.
I've seen people make fun of them, too. Yeah, I don't.
Maybe they just didn't really think about it, still have it on, but I know.
You're going to kill yourself. It's I don't know where you live. but it's 100 degrees outside here.
But you know, they're doing it way more here, and then even here they do it way more if you go somewhere more dense.
Yeah.
So if you go, but as soon as you drive out Orange County or anywhere else, people don't give a, they don't give a shit. They're just,
yeah.
They're just, especially Orange County, that shit's funny.
If you
go to, like, Huntington Beach.
If you really think that COVID is just out there in the air, that you got to wear a mask all the time, like, that means when you open your car door, COVID's getting in. And then when you close the car door, it's locked in there with you.
Yeah.
And you're putting the mask on. You're, like, hotboxing with COVID. You know what I mean? Not marijuana. You're hotboxing with the vid. You know what I'm saying, dude? It just makes zero sense to me. And, like, I don't want to see the plexiglass between me and an audience. But you know what I mean? Like, when
that would just be pointless. Unless everybody was, like, spitballing you, like, it's pointless.
Dude, it's like when I went to go get my hair cut. Now, the guy's required to have the plexiglass at the register.
Yeah.
When I'm paying.
Right.
But he just gave me a haircut. You know what I'm saying? Like, this stuff don't add up. It's, you know
Once
what it's
again,
like,
it's just
bro?
Security theater. It's just like, hey, we did something.
It's security.
Remember the COVID thing?
Yes.
But we got this now.
Yeah, we
got
did
the,
that.
We got the plastic, so you're good.
Yeah.
The only thing that's funny, too, is
our kids are going to be like, why do they have those? I'm going to be like, well, there was COVID
there
a
was
long
this
time
thing,
ago.
This thing that they did.
Yeah. Dude, I hope COVID's not just around forever.
I hope this plexiglass shit, too, isn't just going to stick around. I hope that once it's over, they take the glass out, go back.
I feel like some of that stuff is staying.
It's going to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, at least in the grocery stores, it's going to always be there. And like, they're going to slap this fucking glass when I'm fucking trying to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
Yo!
Yeah, man. And then they're just going to be all nasty. And it's like another thing the employees have
fucking
to clean.
People going to etch fucking tagging into the side of it.
I'm surprised they haven't already. Just plexiglass and, you know, graffiti.
Yeah, you're trying to check out and it's like letters scratched into it.
Dude, it's, you know, when I went to Arizona, I felt like the comedy club did an excellent job of social distancing the room as they were required to. That first table is more than 6 feet.
Yeah.
So just don't sit anybody at that first table, and then I'm nowhere near them.
And what about the audience? Don't they have to be speckled?
They are also
spread
out.
So that also means the admittance can't be as high then, because they can't fill the room up.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's been like that for a couple comedy clubs.
Yeah.
We've all taken a pay cut.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of willing to do it, and I knew that it was coming. And that's going to be it, dude. Guys that were doing theaters are going to go do comedy clubs again. And guys that were headlining comedy clubs are going to start doing open mics. You know, just try to stay relevant.
Yeah.
I think a lot of guys are just going to quit.
I think people are going to quit a lot of things in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some of it is positive. I think a lot of people are going to realize they're in just meaningless careers.
Yeah.
Because a lot of careers were meaningless. And so people are going to find more passion and purpose in their life. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, as far as businesses, though, a lot of them, it seems like, how could they stay open? Like,
I think some of them won't ever come back.
And then what's going to replace them? And has this been just a smash and grab for the rich people to buy up all the fucking
possibly
ownership of property and land?
They've been trying
everything.
To do it for years, dude, with all the fires. Every year, California has a fucking fire. I'm from here. We didn't used to have a fire season. Right. Now we got a fire season every year.
Yeah.
And, I have felt for a long time that was a ploy to get people out of their properties so you can buy the land.
Mm-hmm.
I even saw one, which may be a conspiracy theory, of the map of which they were originally trying to build, like a train and shit like that up in Malibu, like to take you through Malibu for transportation and do shops and stuff.
Yeah.
I saw their blueprint for it, and it was an exact, like,
shape of the fire.
Like, exactly where the fire went.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Like, it matched perfectly.
Yeah.
Crazy shit like that, you know? But, I mean, like I said, dude, if you put a plexiglass, I'll do it. If you got the room really separated, if I got to take a pay. I just want to do comedy. And I haven't really thought this until maybe this week or last week. It didn't even cross my mind until now, is that there actually are a lot of stand-up comedians, I think, that are going to quit. I think that they're just going to quit. And I'm not talking about guys like that didn't do that long to begin with or are only part-time anyway. I'm talking about guys that was their living, or they've been doing it for 15, 20 years. And I'm starting to talk to them, and a lot of them are starting to have this attitude of just like, you know, we're not in a rush to go back. I'll go back when there's a vaccine, or I'll go back maybe next year or 2 years just to wait for things to really, really calm down. And I'm like, man, 2 years not being on stage, that sounds like quitting.
Yeah.
You can't not go on stage for 2 years. You can't. You're just not a comic anymore. And if you try to come back, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be like extremely hard to, like, if you thought you were irrelevant before, try to come back when there's a whole new generation of guys that were below you now on top, and you got to, and they surpassed you. I truly now I'm seeing guys that I think, like, businesses are not going to make it back.
Mm-hmm.
Comics, some of them aren't going to come back.
Right.
I think a lot of them are going to go have to find income elsewhere, and I think a lot of them are getting really used to sitting on the couch not writing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Unfortunately, I think this unemployment is making a lot of people lazy. I think that unemployment...
I think unemployment also combined with the re-shut down.
Yeah.
It seemed like a short-lived thing where it was like, okay, just this quick thing and then get back to it. But it's like now we got this kind of limbo where we don't know when we're coming back.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, people are just getting mushy, you know? I could see that because, I mean, I have to fight it not to get lazy at home.
Yeah.
Like, just have to, you know, not fucking play video games all the time.
Right,
shit like that. It's like, I gotta,
it's too,
like,
easy, man.
Yeah, it's so easy to just, we have so much entertainment at our disposal at all times. You could just waste away fucking around.
Yeah. Know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was talking to a comic who I absolutely do not agree with in anything that was out of his mouth, but, and I won't say his name, obviously, but I was talking to a comic and he was just so excited to be on unemployment, and when I had said that I can't wait to go back on stage, and he really kind of got mad at me and gave me shit and was like, well, when I said I can't wait to go back to work is the word that I used, and he goes, like, he got like really mad, like, oh, you can't go back to work, but some of us who go back to work will go back to making less than we were on unemployment. So he's like, so the quicker we go back, like, the more I'm gonna go back to making nothing, and like, maybe you make more money than me when you're working and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, that is such the wrong attitude to have.
Yeah, you gotta be looking at this time as a time to totally change the angle of what you want to do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
My friends and I, we started a rental business for film equipment because we were shooting all the time and renting all this stuff all the time. So it was always costing us every time we shoot. And then on top of that, we realized that it's an asset because if we need it, people need it.
Yes.
And so we bought the things we've been needing and now we have them so we don't have to pay for them when we shoot. And then we also can rent them out to other people.
Right.
And then I can offer my friends great prices on it. You know, slide me $50, I'll give you this whole setup.
And you know how to use the equipment.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you have something at your disposal to totally enhance the production value of what you're shooting. That, you know what I mean? Especially small things. Like, I got this monitor, 7-inch monitor, and you think you could live without it.
Yeah.
But if you have a small little screen, you're going to overlook something that could ruin a shot. You know, just a reflection somewhere of the camera people. You didn't see it because the shit was too small.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're out there with a, you know, remote camera, you're looking at it, you can notice stuff, and then you can adjust for it.
Yeah,
I see. And so, yeah, it's super, it comes in handy, all of it.
So you've got this movie on Amazon right now.
Yeah.
It just came out?
It came out a little while ago. Well, it came out a while ago, and then it just got put on Amazon.
But that's what I meant. It just came out on Amazon pretty recently.
Yeah, it just came out on Amazon.
You guys filmed that?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't operate the cameras, but friends of mine filmed it. So we were just a...
You're in it.
Yeah, I'm in it. Just acting. Yeah.
Big part in it?
Yeah, it's the main role.
The main role in the movie. Mm-hmm. What's the movie about?
It's about a character who is infatuated with Facebook. At the time we made it, Facebook was more relevant than Instagram. And he gets sucked into it physically. He's trapped inside.
I see.
And he's given like a challenge where if he can get 1 million likes, he can get back out of there. So he's trying to do everything he can to get the likes so he can escape. But at the same time, his girlfriend, who he wasn't paying any attention to, doesn't know where he's at. And so he's about to let like this relationship fall apart. So he has to figure out a way to like get back into like her attention without becoming infatuated with the Facebook shit.
Yeah.
So he has to figure out a solution. And then, you know, you just watch it unfold. It's cute. It's funny.
Yeah.
It does have some sort of like critique of society, which is nice, you know? And it's a nice
little... It's different. It's kind of a love story.
Kind of a love story with just like some humorous bits in there.
Did you have anything to do with writing it?
No, I didn't have anything to do with writing it. Just kind of made it my own when I performed the character.
I see.
Yeah.
How long is it?
20 minutes.
Oh, it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's a quick little short film.
So a short film, and then it's on Amazon, like Prime, or you have to, or you can rent it?
So if you have Amazon Prime, you can just watch it. You don't have to pay for it or rent it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you know everybody's got Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you gotta have Amazon Prime.
You guys, just go watch it. It's 20 minutes.
Yep.
So how does that work? So if you get something on Amazon, and it's on Amazon Prime, so if you have Amazon Prime, it's free. You can just watch it. Do you get paid per watch or not really?
I would have to ask the producer.
Yeah.
And
I mean like the whole production.
I think so. I think the film does stand to earn some type of residual income based on viewing.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine kind of like with Spotify when you know, there's some kind of cut in there, somewhere.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure though, because I didn't do the paperwork to get it onto Amazon.
Right.
So that's shout out to Randy Kalina for doing that.
Is that one of the producers of it?
Yeah, he's a producer.
Perfect, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that I think it's important for you to do. Amazon's is a big role, and a lot of people have Prime, man. I have a short film that me and my co-host Kevin Lyon filmed a while ago, which hopefully one day they'll finish that, and I would like to get that on Amazon. I also have a great idea for a documentary about stand-up comedy that I want to film, which I know there's a lot of documentaries about stand-up comedy, but I think this is extremely different, which I would I'll tell you another time.
Yeah, I'm sure you got plenty to tell me. Yeah.
And then, I'd like to film a special pretty soon and get that out there. And I think I would use footage from the special for the documentary as well. So it would be like kind of two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I have an album recorded from a few years ago. During quarantine, I decided that I was going to finally edit it up, and which I did. I got everything all done and I sent it off to distribution. Unfortunately, to find out it had a Father's Day release date.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately I found out that the distribution warehouse was completely closed for coronavirus. So that got held back. But I think it should be out soon. It all depends. Like I'm hearing that they're opening again, so I think that the ball's in motion. So I would say probably like by the fall, the latest, it'll be out. But here's the thing: I recorded it a few years ago, so it's an hour that I don't do anymore, which is great. So my new hour is completely different and probably even better than that. So I want to right away do a special, which I would take the audio to do another album, and then the special, try to get it on Prime or something like that.
Yeah.
Which would be great. And but now it's like with this whole thing, I don't know if I can do a spec. Where am I going to do it? How would you're a filmmaker,
say. You saw how Dave Chappelle did it. It just was different, you know? He had all those people.
It was different.
Totally
yeah.
spaced out, but he's in the midst of it.
Yeah.
So I think you got to just look at it like, depending on how soon you want to shoot it.
Yeah.
It's either going to have to be just not the kind of crowd size you usually do.
How would you do it?
I would
a social distance comedy special.
I would make that a little bit of a part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would incorporate that. Probably definitely have some material about it.
Yeah.
And then I would shoot it in a way that was a little different.
Yeah.
So I would probably have some cameras moving through the audience and then, you know, kind of see that space. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a special and people are going to laugh. Maybe make sure there's some mics so they can hear the laughter.
I saw the Chappelle thing.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job of, they would do two seats and then two seats and like spray paint around the seats. Like this is a box and stay in this box and everybody's 6 feet apart.
Right.
The problem is, and this is what you need for stand-up comedy, is an audience.
Yeah.
Ambiance. Energy. Together. The energy. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel it with his special.
Well, and he didn't even go for the laughter. So that
he didn't
was a
go
thing.
For laughs.
That was just that was a important politically social commentary he needed to do.
Yeah.
He just had to get that out.
And even when he kind of said something that I thought, well, maybe that's going to get a laugh, you would hear little chuckles far away. Right.
It's like he's still a funny guy, but he's talking about some serious shit and you don't even feel like
And laughter
so
is contagious.
Sensitive.
When they're so spread apart, it's like even if there was some little chuckles in there, felt uncomfortable to laugh.
Another thing I'm thinking right now is I would keep the special something you have in the back of the mind of like you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But I would look at the other angles you have of things you enjoy doing and then put energy into that. So if you were writing some television or if you're writing like sketches, whatever it was, I would focus on those things because you know you can do them. You can even find ways to do them better now, you know. I know that like
I think that's a good tip.
I know because I was shooting like a pilot for like a web series kind of thing going on, at the very beginning, and then we lost our momentum because of the shutdown. So we weren't shooting. And now we have to kind of reshoot what we did shoot because it won't match.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I've had like a revitalizer in order to kind of change my angle for it. And then looked at what we did and how we can do it better. And so with the reshut down, it's kind of like now I know more people have free time to be there.
Yeah.
So it's like involve the people I know, shoot with them, create something. You know, and you're doing your podcast, which is great.
Yeah, I do the podcast. I write also.
Yeah.
I write short stories, which is another great creative outlet, which, you know, I don't really do anything with them other than I do post them on my website. So people want to read them, they can read them. My buddy's a filmmaker. If he wants to make a film out of it, a short film out of it, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. But it's just more for me to stay sharp on my writing. And yeah. I come up with pretty unique ideas. But I mean, you're right. Like there's other things. Like you can write stand up. Like you need to come up with new bits, and I can practice them in my little diary, video diaries, and stuff like that. Right, because if right. I do a special, I'm going to be releasing at least 60 minutes of material that I'm going to have to not use anymore once True. It's out there. True. So I should be using this time to write a new like at least 20 or 30, mm-hmm. so that when that special's out, I don't have to really do that much of it. I have a different. So that's what it would be. I was thinking of an idea of filming a special, which is not ideal how I wanted to film the special, but due to the circumstances, if I was going to do it, because what I want to do is have like two out right away, because my album's about to come out and it's a few years old, and then right away I got my newest one out, and they're like two right, out at right. the same time. You know, so if you hear my newest one and you go like, oh, who's this guy? He's great. Where'd he come from? Does he have any other ones? You can go back and see, oh, he's got an old one.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm going for, but if I was going to do a special, I had the idea of, let me know what you think about this, because you film a lot of stuff with your friends. I was thinking about doing a special and kind of having round tables per household. Like if you and your brother and sister live together, like you guys will be at that one round table. Obviously if you live in a house together, we can put you together at a table.
Right, right.
And the tables will be 6 feet apart. So
okay, yeah.
What I'm going to, and then have like a GoPro at every table, like right at the edge, like this.
Uh-huh.
So when I do a bit and if it gets like a good laugh and you want to cut to the audience, instead of cutting to an audience of this big empty space, spaced out people, you can literally cut to each table.
Would you mosaic them or just one at a time?
I was thinking one at a time, and depending on like which table really reacted uniquely to each bit.
That's a good idea.
Because sometimes I think that in a large crowd, you're not going to satisfy everybody. You can have a view and opinion on something where you might offend one table and all of them are laughing. Mm-hmm. Or you might have something that maybe it's racial and then, you know what I mean, everybody will laugh and one person will feel uncomfortable. Or you might have something that really hits home for some people.
Yeah.
Or they point at each other and go like, oh my God, that's you, that's you.
Yeah.
Like I think it would be actually really cool to kind of really capture that by per table, you know?
That's a brilliant idea.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, if you do a social distancing comedy, like I'll do them for work to perform. I love it. I do what I got to do. But to watch it on television or a special or something, when they cut to that audience and they're like not sitting together, it's going to look weird.
It is still the volume of the audience is a big part of the comedy special.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what's nice, too, is you have a lot of audio of the energy of the people.
Yeah.
So that can all be, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Each table is mic'd. Each table has a GoPro.
Right.
Would you think that, would you mosaic it? Do you think that would look weird or do you think it would work?
Weird.
I think it would look weird. You know,
you hear everyone, but you see like one table.
Yeah.
You know, you can even cut quickly between a couple of them. Like these people did this, these people did
You can
this.
Cut to a couple. I would do one at a time.
And plus, you don't need that much of the audience in this comedy special anyways. Everyone's mm-hmm. focused on the performer.
Right.
So those would just be to splice it in to give it some flavor of something different. And like you said, without having, because a lot of times they just have camera pointed at the audience wide, then they have someone who searches.
Yeah.
And that person is using a longer lens and they'll find reactions.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're replacing with the GoPros is like, you're going to get them all.
Exactly.
So you just find the best
ones. That's doable, right?
It just depends. Yeah, it's totally doable. And the only thing I'm thinking of is that many GoPros.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of footage to look through.
Yes.
And so your editor's got to have patience and
yeah.
and because it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, get ready, Kevin. Yeah, man, I think that I think that would really work. I think you're right, dude, that doing like a mosaic thing would be that would almost only be reminding everybody that we are apart.
It's too close to the Zoom calls that we all now associate with COVID.
Yes.
It's like, it's crazy how much shit gets associated with COVID, and it sucks.
I don't want Zoom to have anything to do with my special. I won't even do a Zoom show.
Nah.
You know, man, I just want to be a performing artist again, dude, and I just miss it. And mm-hmm. I was telling my last guest about some vivid dreams I've been having. I think everybody had vivid dreams at the beginning of COVID.
Yes, I was talking to people about that.
Right?
Yeah.
I actually wrote a bit about it that I did in my video diary that actually ended up being pretty good, so I now used it when I went to Arizona, and people really could relate because a lot of people had those dreams. But right now, here's my most recent thing. This is what I was telling the last guy, is that I've been having like vivid dreams about performing. And I think I'm having like withdrawals of performing. Dude, I've been doing this for 11 years. And since I was 20 years old, you know what I mean? So I've just like really missing the lifestyle, the mindset, the hanging out late. So I literally have been having dreams of full shows, like the whole performance, not just like a quick.
Like the
whole thing, dude.
Jeez.
Like, and I'm not even talking where like I'm on stage the whole time. I'm talking where like I go up, then you go up, and I watched your whole set. I'm having the whole dream, dude.
Yeah.
I'm having dreams. I just told the last guy I had a dream about him. He went on stage before me, and I hadn't thought about this guy in years. I couldn't tell you right now if you asked me to tell you one of his jokes. I couldn't tell you. But in the dream, all his jokes were there.
It's crazy what your mind has in there.
It's insane,
dude. And then I'm looking at, I think we connect to other things. It's not all contained within your skull. We connect to other information out there, you know?
It's like a whole story.
Do you meditate?
I'd like to think that I do, but not as much as I like.
It's harder than people think, and harder even for me.
I go on stage.
Yeah, I gotta like, it's like a whole process, because it's so hard for me to stop to chatter in my mind sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there's more to that than we even have any idea. Like, there's a reason like monks can like connect to things. And like, I even heard this thing where they brought a bunch of monks to meditate in one place.
Yeah.
And it lowered the crime rate.
Wow.
Just because they were just there bringing that energy there.
I believe it, dude.
Yeah.
I believe in energy. I believe in, you know, healthy mind. I believe in all that. Everything that we've talked about, bro, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you, bro. You know, it's just, you know, I dream about sitting in the green room and talking to comics and the other guy going in and going, "You're next." And I go, "Okay, I'll be right back."
Right,
and I go up and I do the whole set and I come back to the green room and continue my conversation. Like the whole fucking dream, dude.
It's like you're accessing another reality.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like I'm like trying to, and I wake up and I'm so angry that it wasn't reality. And I'm just like, fuck, that was a good set. You know?
I'm optimistic that things will be better after all of this. Like, I think we're just going to figure out a lot of angles. A lot of unnecessary things are getting, you know, getting eliminated. The only thing I'm worried about is the election, because I don't really know what to believe about that.
Me either.
So much information out there. People believe Trump is disassembling this elite pedophile ring.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know how I could believe that. But then also you look at the media has been just incessantly attacking him for so long.
Right.
All of them. And it's like, I mean, now I understand that you're trying to get me to believe something very, very hard.
Yes. And you got a red flag.
And it's everywhere. It's like, it's immersed your whole life.
But I've never really heard the pedophile thing out in the public as much as it is now. I've heard conspiracy theorists. I've heard friends. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it and people call me crazy. I've never heard it so public now, which means that it's probably a lot of truth coming out.
Right.
But I also, like, I hear the same thing. Like, you know, Trump is trying to get these pedophiles out. And then I think, like, is he, though? Or maybe they're just other really high up people trying to get them to come out, FBI people. Because, you know, if you watch the Epstein documentary, they've been trying to get him for years, you know. But actually, you know what's crazy is his fucking first court hearing, which got, like, no news media. I think it was, like, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Obama was president then. And they gave him a sweetheart deal of fucking, like, 18 months in jail. And fucking he could leave the jail every day for work and come back. It was like a joke,
right? It's like now some Pablo Escobar shit.
And now I feel like he and people will go like, "Well, why do you think that Trump?" Trump is like the one trying to get him. Honestly, people go like, you don't think Trump was on that island with Epstein fucking raping chicks? Honestly, I don't think so. Here's why. All of them have had no problem outing everybody. They didn't say shit about him.
Right.
Like, so, they said shit about everybody.
One thing that I know that I think is the real thing with the Trump stuff with Epstein is that they're trying to magnify his association with him to hurt Trump, but really there's not much there.
Yeah.
Like, I heard that he, like, banned him from his golf course and shit. Right. Trump did not fuck with him. And then there's these people that have been to his island tons of times.
Yes.
And,
I've heard from employees there, not personally, but their interviews, employees on the island that said, yeah, I've seen Trump here once or twice, and he was just, like, eating. Mm-hmm. I heard another story that said that he was at dinner one time and felt so uncomfortable with all the, like, high-up people that were at the table that he went in the kitchen and ate with the staff and then called his own plane and left.
Damn.
I mean, these could just be rumors of people trying to make Trump look good, because I constantly go back with...
And that's the whole thing, too, is that is the entire thing just to try to make Trump look good? Of like the entire conspiracy going on, and he's and he's the savior? And it's like, I don't know. That's the thing, I don't know.
One thing I know for sure is that they love it when we turn on each other.
Oh, yeah, they need that.
So I constantly
divide and
go,
conquer, baby.
Like,
they got to divide and conquer.
Well, maybe Trump is like just like a token put here to give a
to give us to get us
a
all
left
fucking,
and a right
to get us all fighting right you know rallied up and fighting each other.
Yeah, he's trying to save kids.
Well, so what do you think about,
you know what I mean?
What do you think about people saying reptilians exist? What do you think about that?
I can't say for certain if they do or they don't. I also don't want to say, because if I go, yeah, I think they exist, then you're gonna go, oh, you're crazy. Yeah. Then your pedophile theory is bullshit too.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that when someone says lizard people, I think that it represents a certain people. I don't think that they are literally lizard people that shapeshift into lizard. As a matter of fact, Lady Gaga says that she saw Prince Andrew right in front of her shapeshift into a lizard. She said another prince, I forget which one it was, in the audience at her show while she was singing, she saw him turn his face turn into a lizard and fucking eyes flicker and shit. And that bitch is crazy, so I think no.
Yeah, Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
She's the one who's doing that spirit cooking stuff.
She's like a devil worshipping weirdo. So anything she says is also trying to throw you off what's really going on. So I don't think there really are lizard people, but I think lizard people exist in the sense that there are Rothschilds. There are these high up elites, people, you know, in the United Kingdom, bloodlines that are all connected, that run the world. And I think that we refer to them as lizard people, and we all know what we mean.
So I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. Because
when you say something, you go, I think they are trying to do this, and people go, who's they? That's they.
That is they.
You know what
that
I mean?
That is exactly they.
And you want to know some shit? But I'm sorry, not to cut you off.
No,
one
no,
thing. Let me tell you some shit, bro. Yeah. I don't know if you know who Sam Tripoli is.
No.
He's a fucking phenomenal comic, a great person, but he's hardcore into conspiracies, but has really been right like 9 out of 10 times with all of them. And he has a podcast called Tinfoil Hat, which is exploded, dude. It's like so popular now. So every now and then he has me on, or if I find some interesting piece of something, I send it to him either for real evidence or a joke.
Right.
And he'll have me on to talk about it.
Yeah.
So recently I saw, you probably saw it in the news, this large reptilian egg that was found in Antarctica.
I might have missed that one.
Recently in the news.
Yeah, okay.
It's like 11 feet long and it's 7 inches wide. And I sent it to him because he's always talking about lizard people.
Yeah.
And he goes like, well, do some research and come on the show and talk about it. So I did some research and they're saying that it's like large enough to be a dinosaur egg, but the material of the egg is not a dinosaur. It's more like fish or something. Mm-hmm. Like, so Loch Ness Monster or maybe lizard people exist. This was the joke.
Right.
So anyway, while doing research, I found out that every lizard and dinosaur and shit like that is named after like old ancient Greek language. Like when you like name a dinosaur.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Tyrannosaurus. Tyrannosaurus, that's a Greek word.
Oh.
Okay,
I
so
see.
Everything was made from the, because they're that, they go back that far. And Greek is one of the oldest languages, right?
Of course.
So do you know what the Greek word for lizard is?
No.
Soros.
Oh, God, like George Soros?
Like George Soros, bro.
Jesus.
Like, that's why, what'd you say? Tyrannosaurus?
Rex.
Tyrannosaurus. It's Soros.
Yeah.
That's where the word comes from.
Right.
And do I think that he's a lizard? No. I think
those,
that
those bags
they call
under his
people.
Eyes, bro.
I think they call people things for a reason.
Yeah,
you know, because they're into their own shit. They're right, into right. like, you know, hyping up their creepy stuff.
And their blood runs cold because they're just so
yeah.
evil.
Yeah.
These people, yeah. I've heard. So the weird thing about him is that he was like paying to fund Black Lives Matter in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
He still does.
He still pays for it.
Yeah. Like their most recent tax return has mm-hmm. him doing a giant donation on it. And nice. When I say that, people come shoot down my neck and go, they don't have tax returns. They're an organization. Listen, bro. If somebody's donating millions of dollars, that has a paper trail.
Right. What do they use the money for? You don't know?
I do know what I've heard.
Yeah.
And I've seen videos of proof that the money is going to the Democratic Party. Okay. Right now, for yeah. Biden's campaign, every dollar that you donate to Black Lives Matter, 1% of it is kept for the donation. The rest of it's all going to the Democratic Party for their campaign. And the 1% of it, we also are not seeing any proof that it's getting to help anybody.
Right, because, I mean, when you go to a protest, it's not like there needs to be money.
Yeah.
You just show up and,
yes.
and you know, make a sign or something.
I have heard that the 1% has, they've used, taken money from that to bail out people who were arrested for looting.
Oh.
But the thing is that Black Lives Matter has been around for a couple of years. The yeah. organization.
Yeah, it's been around.
And I am 100% in favor of the term Black Lives Matters, and I agree with what it means. Totally. And when people say All Lives Matters, it's like, bro, people that say All Lives Matters happen to also be people that go hunting.
They're ignorant.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like you could kill a cow or a deer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But so all lives don't matter to you, obviously. I think that's a crazy statement. Crazy statement. All Lives Matter is a crazy statement, dude. Like, and they're not even saying only Black Lives Matters, which maybe then I would say, yeah, no, yeah. all lives matter. But they're saying Black Lives Matter as a fact, and it's true. My problem is, and I keep harping on this with people, mm-hmm. I've even done it on stage, is my problem is that people don't understand the organization that was named Black Lives Matter so that you cannot argue with it. If you have a really corrupt business, you're going to name it something nice. So that people won't have suspicions. You're not going to name it fucking Conrad Scam.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to name it Black Lives Matter because people, right. anybody that says anything against it, you can go, well, then you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know, you guys don't know where the money comes from or where yeah. it goes. Like, I've yeah. never seen that money help a black family, help them get housing, help them, like, pay for their tuition. Like, and they've been around for years, you know? Anyway, dude.
That's just, you know, it goes to show that George Soros stuff and then how deep it all goes.
Yeah.
All, yeah.
I also saw another one recently that George Soros actually owns a big chunk of Target. Like, he's a part owner.
Really?
And Target was, like, one of the first ones that got looted.
Yeah.
And they also went, like, we don't mind that you looted us. Like here, we're also going to donate to Black Lives Matters. Thank you, come again. Like, yeah, that was yeah. their response. It's like, yeah, because that money just goes right back into your pocket, George Soros. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, man.
It's so crazy.
It's wild.
It is wild. But anyway, we're just a couple artists trying to do our thing.
That's it.
And like I said, dude, as much as I think this stuff, like, yeah, catch the pedophiles, and then I'll go like, well, maybe Trump's being used to make us fight, though. Maybe this is all like actors, and they're in their place doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Like you said, whatever they're trying to do, they're doing it, and it's working.
Whatever's happening was exactly what they planned.
Yep, it's all going and it's perfectly working. According to plan.
And except for the fact that I think COVID was supposed to be a lot more deadly. I think that does not go according to
the human resilience.
Plan.
Damn yeah. it.
Yeah, we've been yeah. eating ass for a long time, bro. We're out here in California. Dude, we fucking smoke way worse shit than that.
Passing blunts.
But as performers and artists, I just want to perform. I don't care who you voted for. I don't care. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say because maybe you voted for a fucking criminal. I don't know. But the point is to me is that you need a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You need to forget your problems for a while. Come on in. Let me tell you some jokes. I don't care what side of the fence you're on, you know?
Artistry and creation, it's really important because it takes people, it transports people.
Yeah.
And like, it's part of the like 5D where it's like you escape the quote unquote reality that we are all participant in.
Yeah.
That they manufacture for us. And that's when you escape to that other place, which is also real, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
I agree with you, dude.
Encourage people to be creative and enjoy creative things.
You've always been an awesome dude, bro. I appreciate you. Thank you. One thing's for sure, neither of us are catching COVID in this room because it's hot as fuck.
Way too hot for COVID.
I'm sweating, and it's my second podcast I've done in here today, so I got to get out of here. What's the name of the movie?
Like.
L-I-K-E?
Yeah, and you can search my name to find it, too.
Conrad Mikey?
Search Conrad with a K.
Yes.
And then Sedochenkov. Sedochenkoff.
And what's your like Instagram or Twitter so that
Conrad,
people can find
Conrad
it?
Conrad Mikey.
Conrad Mikey on Instagram?
And that's with a K and then M-I-K-E-Y. K-O-N-R-A-D-M-I-K-E-Y. Conrad Mikey.
There you go, you guys. It's if you have Prime, it's only 20 minutes. Just throw it on and check out Conrad in the movie, the short film, Like.
That's right.
Thank you so much for coming on, dude. I hope to share a stage with you very, very, very soon.
Very soon.
Or at the very least, film something together and have you bring over some of your cameras for my GoPro special.
Absolutely. Hey, we got you, bro.
Thank you, man. I want to give a big thank you to our sponsors, Share a Sale. If you have a podcast and you need sponsors, click the link in the description. It's free to sign up as an affiliate, and you're helping out the Homeschool Podcast. It's a win-win for everybody. I want to thank our other sponsor, Puffy Mattress. Click the link to get $300 off. And I want to give a big thank you to my co-host, Kevin Lyons, who's out of town but still does a really good job on editing all these and is still working from across the country. And I want to give a big thank you to our guest Conrad Mikey for spending his time in here today and risking it all to come out
baby.
Of the house
to come and get homeschooled
for the Homeschooled Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida. I'll see you guys next time.